Today on Real Radio.
When you begin to lean on his power, his strength, his resources, and the fact that it's his will that your marriage be recovered, with that you can, I believe, do anything.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's special edition of Real Radio, we continue now with our three-part series featuring Pastor Jack and his wife, Lisa. Now, Jack and Lisa were recently asked to appear on Family Life Today, a popular program with Dennis Rainey and Bob Lapine, which airs all across America. So just to catch us all up, here's part of that first discussion.
You two have been married more than 30 years. You have two daughters who are married, two grandchildren. Mm-hmm. And you've crafted a book together, your first book, that's called Turn Around at Home. The whole concept of a turnaround, now that I've been through your book, makes a lot of sense. Mm-hmm. Because starting with you, Jack, as a boy, you stuttered.
Yes, and making a long story short, just never connected with my dad, never quite had the opportunity. The real turning point for me was probably about the age of nine, he had discovered, I got to get this kid, Jack, plugged into something meaningful. He put me in his truck, which was a delight. I couldn't believe it. Drove me down to the local.
Now, wait a second. You couldn't believe he put you in his truck? What?
Yeah, because I did not have access to my dad growing up. It was a very, very cold, very harsh response toward me in anything and in everything. On top of the fact, and I explained this in the book, I stuttered really bad. So again, in his way, he would put his hands on his hips. That's the picture I have of my dad growing up. He'd have his hands on his hips. He would be looking at me. My dad was a ex-Marine. And he would just say, spit it out. You know, what are you trying to say? What's wrong with you? Which is not good therapy for a kid stuttering. So I just learned how to tuck everything in, hide. And it really, what it wound up resulting in was a very isolated childhood, very rejected, but it spawned it within me. A lot of violence.
Yeah, in fact, I want to go back for just a minute to you being in the other room when your mom's telling a neighbor that she had tried to self-abort. She'd used it was a coat hanger,
right? It was a coat hanger, correct.
And this is, you're hearing this for the first time as a young teen?
Right, young teen, 17 years of age. And I've got to tell you, people have asked, well, what did you think? What did you feel? Well, honestly, at 17 years of age, I didn't think or felt anything.
Lisa, you had your own turnaround as well, except yours is a bit different. You say you grew up in two very distinctly different Christian families. Explain what you mean by that.
Well, the first one, I was very young. I don't have a great recollection of it because my mother died when I was five. I was the baby of seven kids. And from what I understand of my older siblings, I was tied to my mother's apron strings. It was a very loving, big, loud family. But when she passed, you know, things obviously changed. My dad remarried within the year. So it was very quickly that he knew he needed help. He had these seven kids. And my stepmother came in with two kids. She was widowed as well. Someone put them up on a blind date. And, you know, which is crazy because she took on seven stepkids to this day. Can't imagine being widowed with two kids and then taking on seven kids would be crazy. But she came on really strong, very strict, a good Christian woman, but a lot of the law, not a lot of the love.
You were a little girl.
I was a little girl. I was 6 years old when they got married. And fortunately, I had a very close relationships with my siblings. They were great. They loved on us, but they didn't like my stepmother either. It was very difficult for her as well. It was, you know, being a blended family is difficult across the board. So it went from, you know, a loving, I would say maybe a kind of a more normal home to a very difficult blended family that was very Christian. We went to church. I mean, you had to have a temperature. You didn't miss church. She took your temperature or school or anything to, you know, going constantly, which I am so thankful for. I did have that church upbringing with my biological mother as well, but the second home was just incredibly different.
Okay, we've been listening to Pastor Jack and Lisa Hibbs here on Real Radio. With some opening remarks and a recently aired interview with Dennis Rainey and Bob Lapine on their broadcast called Family Life Today. And now here's part three of that interview as they discuss Pastor Jack and Lisa's book, Turn Around at Home.
They've written a book called Turn Around at Home, and they're talking about the heritage they were given and the legacy that they want to leave. And basically, what they're saying is they want to leave a different legacy than the one they were given. And so we decided we would call both of their daughters and just let them share about the legacy they were given as children of a pastor and pastor's wife.
Oh,
and
you're not nervous at all now, are you?
Oh, this is amazing. Where's the door?
And so I think we have Rebecca on the line. Rebecca?
Rebecca's on here. Rebecca, welcome to Family Life Today.
Hi, thank you.
You're a good sport, Rebecca.
You are. Say hi to your mom and dad.
Hi, guys.
Hi, Rebecca.
This is fun.
Yeah, you keep saying it over and over again, Mom. Just keep saying this is so much fun.
So Rebecca, your mom and dad have shared a little bit of their background and kind of where they came from and their desire to leave a legacy. And I know that they don't want some kind of pie in the sky, airbrushed, photoshopped.
Yeah. We want the real dirt on your mom and dad. That's why we're calling, Rebecca.
I think they like the airbrush better.
So, Rebecca, just unpack a little bit of what would you say best describes the legacy you were given out of this family you grew up in?
Well, definitely Christian, godly example. Always, everything we did was always like that. Our friends were Christians. As we got older, guys that we, you know, were interested in dating, they had to be Christian. And obviously, we're carrying that on with our 3.5-year-old daughter, putting God first.
She can only date Christian guys at 3.5?
No. No. If her daddy has it his way, she won't ever be dating.
I'm just curious, because you grew up as a PK, right? You were a preacher's kid.
Yeah.
Did you ever feel that PK pressure and
no.
Like, I don't want to, I want to be in a new family?
Really?
No. I had a great experience with that. My mom made a huge sacrifice, and I was homeschooled with her from kindergarten through 11th grade, and I really appreciate that, and that's something that I'm going to continue with my daughter when it's time for her to do school. Is homeschooling her. I just think it's so much better, and I'm very thankful that my parents did that for me.
Did you feel pressure like I got to be poly perfect?
No, I didn't.
Why?
I didn't. I guess you can credit my parents to that. I know a lot of pastors' kids have that urge to rebel too against all that. I didn't feel that. I enjoyed it. I was happy. Maybe some of the things I didn't enjoy about being a pastor's kid were everybody kind of maybe looks at you and holds you to a higher standard. That's, you know, something difficult to deal with. But I didn't have any, you know, anything negative about that, homeschooling or being a pastor's kid. And one of the words that I would use to describe, might seem a little odd, but to me it's a good thing, is uneventful. It was uneventful in a good way. I was sheltered. I was protected. I didn't have any horrible tragedies or bad things that I had to go through. And I credit a lot of that to my parents. And I don't regret that at all. I'm very blessed to have felt that, you know. And
Rebecca, this is Dennis. I have to tell you about a phone call I received last night from my daughter, whose name is Ashley, like your sister, okay? Mm-hmm. Ashley called me last night at about 9:30. And we saw the phone ring and we thought, oh, they're pregnant. We've got another another baby on the way. Because we don't get a phone call at that time of night. But she got on the phone and she just said, I just want to thank you. She said, I just came from a bunko party. And
is that where they're playing a card game or is that where the sleepover? Which over?
It's the card game. All right.
Okay.
And it's a bunch of moms who kind of have a moment of sanity in the midst of their month to kind of get together and have fun. She said, I was the only woman in our group who had never seen Pretty Woman. Hmm. And she said, you know, I don't feel weird about that at all.
Yeah.
I want to thank you for that. So that's what I hear you saying.
I totally understand what she's saying. Yes. And it's not a bad thing. Maybe going through your teenage years, you know, you might think you're different, but when you get on that other side of 20 plus, you'll realize what a blessing it was and how you want to do that with your kids.
Rebecca, you're a good sport. Thanks for doing this. We're about to talk to your sister, Ashley. Is she going to say anything different than you just said, do you think?
I would assume so, because her and I are pretty different personalities, so
all right.
I think she will.
Well, let's find out. We've got Ashley on the other line. Ashley, I understand you've been changing a diaper. Welcome to Family Life Today.
Thank you.
Everything okay with the diaper? We just want to check that out first.
Yeah, it's good now. It was a little scary for a minute.
So on a 10-point scale, you'd put it up on the higher parts of the scale, huh?
Yeah, it was a bad one.
Well, we just wanted to find out, you know, your mom and dad have written this book, Turn Around at Home, and they've been talking about the heritage they were given from the families they grew up in. And how would you describe the family you grew up in? Just what kind of legacy were you given?
It was actually a fun home. We did a lot of fun stuff. My parents were always there with their time. They just were constantly attending to us. My dad is always, when he was home, he was ready to play with us. He wasn't just, you know, absent or tired. And my mom took the time to homeschool us. So they were always just around and there for us. We never felt like, you know, we were raising ourselves or just didn't have anyone around. They just always gave us that time and made things fun and, you know, took us on vacation every year, camping, and just really gave us their time and attention.
Ashley, I asked your sister about the whole PK thing, you know, growing up as a preacher's kid.
Yeah.
Was that hard for you, being a PK?
For me, it was. My sister, she's more social, and the attention and everything was fine for her, and she kind of, you know, enjoyed it and had a ton of friends all the time. And I was very shy, so people wanting to get to know us, you know, kind of made me cower away a little bit and even be introverted a little bit more.
Yeah, I have a daughter like you, and it's like anybody turns a spotlight anywhere near her, and it's like, get me out of here, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So just getting you on the radio, we're lucky for this, aren't we?
Exactly. Yeah, very.
It's a first.
I want to ask, you know, you have a newborn son. I guess he's, what, a year and a half old now? Is that right?
Yeah.
What do you want to pass on to him that you got from your parents?
Honestly, I'm already talking about homeschooling him and how good that was for us. By the time I actually went to school, my parents had just established in us like a good sense of who we were and what we believed in and why. So by the time I went to school, I did not deal with peer pressure at all. All my friends, you know, they still were drinking and partying and having fun. And I just never once was tempted by it, because it just hadn't been something that up until that point carried any weight with me, because they had given us so much time. So I really feel like I want to do that for him. I want him to have that confidence and just like giving him a good life, and obviously like getting into ministry and finding his gifts and all of that is huge for us too. So,
well, I'll tell you what, your parents have told us already that both of their girls are amazing moms and amazing daughters, and that what they see you doing with your kids is so far ahead of what they did with you you were little.
Yeah.
That they're just so excited about what God has in store for you, and just how you are being a woman of God in your home. And I think just the fact that you picked up the phone when we called is evidence of God's abundant grace. Do you want to say anything Ashley before we say goodbye to her?
Thank you, Ashley. That was very kind.
That was awesome. Very cool. Good to hear.
And we appreciate you being on Family Life Today.
And Ashley, I want you to know that after you finished your job of being a mom, I don't know how many more children you'll have, you've got a future in radio.
Absolutely.
There you go.
Absolutely.
I know, call me.
I can get you fixed up with a job.
Wait a second, Bob. Now, wait. Anyway, I know you're good at being a graphic artist, but you've been very kind and very descriptive with your words to kind of allow us to interrupt your day. So thanks for being with us.
Yes.
Thank you, Ashley.
Thank you.
It has got to be, for a mom and dad, to hear your daughters just reflect back and say, you know, it was good.
Yes. Mm. Yes.
You kind of go, really?
Yes.
Because in the midst of it, as parents, you don't feel that way, do you?
We're aware that it's not perfect.
Right.
Absolutely.
Right.
As parents.
And, you know, the decision to homeschool was huge because that was at a time when I didn't have the support that now homeschoolers have. Homeschooling was, I was cutting edge back then in the mid-80s. I mean, there wasn't many doing it. And to hear both of them reflect on that, how important it was to both of them, because I remember being frustrated as a young mom and thinking, oh, you know, I used to threaten them with public school. They didn't know what public school was, but when they acted up, I'd say, that's it, you're going to public school. They're, no, I don't want to go to jail
or something.
Yeah, exactly. They had no idea what it was. But the Lord used to always remind me when I would have those days where I was losing it and didn't want to do it anymore. And I would hear from him tell me that the fruit was not for now. It would be later. I would see fruit later.
Yeah.
And now I just heard it. So
and
I'm
you
blessed.
Did. And I was watching your face as you were listening to that.
Yeah.
That was pretty powerful.
Oh, yeah.
To hear both of your daughters say, you know, I recognize the sacrifice that my mom.
And it is.
Yeah, it is.
It's huge.
And the investment. Mm-hmm. And like your daughter Ashley just said, if you want to defeat peer pressure, homeschooling is one of the most powerful ways to do that. And it's not that you remove them from all the pressure. It's just that you give them a very strong sense
foundation.
Of identity in Christ and around your family so they can stand strong in the midst of the winds.
You know, with all of this focus this week on how we can purposefully and intentionally pass on a more important, a more vibrant legacy to our children, I'm wondering what you'd do if you were sitting down today with Dave and Stephanie, the couple that you outline in your book. Mm-hmm. Here's a couple, both of them coming from broken, damaged backgrounds. They get together, they get married, they think it's going to be great. 2 years in, 3 years in, they're ready to chuck the marriage. They don't recognize what's going on. How do you intersect with a couple like that in that moment and carry the message of this book to them to give them a fresh sense of hope?
Yeah. Well, the number one thing to realize is just by changing your mate is not going to fix a thing. What happens when someone says, well, you know what? Grass is going to be greener on the other side. I'm going to bail on this. What you're really doing is you're jumping out of a redeemable situation and you're dragging the very same dilemmas, problems, issues into a brand new one. It's
plus,
not plus,
plus more.
Yeah. Plus more. Yeah. Good point. And it's not going to be any better. That's why the statistics are overwhelming when a marriage is broken up and then someone remarries, the percentage of second, third, fourth marriages are greatly increased. Why? You're bringing the baggage in. Mm-hmm. The greatest thing to do is to honor the institution of marriage designed by God, work at it, work hard at it. And look, none of us at this table have done it perfect, and we would never confess that. The great thing is our God is perfect.
Right.
When you begin to lean on His power, His strength, His resources, and the fact that it's His will that your marriage be recovered, with that, you can, I believe, do anything.
Dennis used to talk about the fact that you used to have what you called the prayer of the helpless parent, right?
Right.
And what's the prayer?
Help.
Yeah. it is.
I mean, seriously.
Yes.
I do not know what to do.
That's
yes.
Right.
I am at my wit's end.
That's right.
And whether it's the prayer of the helpless parent or the prayer of the helpless spouse.
Yeah.
I think one of the first places you got to start in a marriage turnaround, like you talk about, is begin to put God first. And one of the ways you do that is by praying every day with your spouse.
Amen.
And bringing your junk and your stuff before God every day. That was the thing we did last night before we went to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
We prayed about a couple of needs that are taking place in our family.
Mm-hmm.
And we brought them before God, and we left them there.
Mm-hmm.
Now, did I wake up thinking about this morning? Yes. And I brought them back to God again this morning. But every family's got its stuff, its dysfunction
absolutely.
That it brings in, and got issues you're dealing with today.
Years ago, we were in a tough spot in our marriage. And so we decided to write down three things that I was needing or lacking or something in the marriage. And he wrote down three things. And instead of concentrating on those three things, we exchanged it. And that became the prayer request. I am now praying about his three needs. Instead of focusing on my, you know, desires or whatever my needs were, it was more about doing what the Bible says, esteeming others higher, dying to the flesh. All my desires I'm to be promoting and blessing him with. And it's hard sometimes. It's
Galatians
really
6 talks about bearing one another's burdens.
Yes, right. And,
you know, what she's saying, it's really hard to stay in an argument or to perpetuate an argument when you're reading the scripture together. If a couple will commit to, we're going to read the Bible no matter what kind of day we're having, it's pretty amazing because we can be at each other and then do our, what feels like at the moment, our routine Bible reading.
Yes.
And God's word and his spirit is so powerful that by the time we get done with our daily Bible reading, somebody might say, well, it's so simple, a daily Bible reading. Hey, listen, it's kind of hard to perpetuate an argument after reading the Word of God. It's amazing.
Does one of you ever go, I am not ready to read
absolutely.
The Bible?
Listen,
absolutely.
I have to tell you this quick story. This is probably 15, 20 years ago. I mean, we've been married almost 35 years.
I know where she's
going to go. We had an argument about something. We were actually both in bed, laying there. Who knows what we were arguing about? But we're laying there, and finally, I think you said, well, I guess we should go read our Bible. And I go, well, yeah, I guess we should. So we got up, went out on the couch, open up. I go, where are we reading? And he said, I don't know, 1 John. Okay, 1 John. So we open it. We're going to read every other verse.
Out loud.
Yeah. So
if we say we have no sin.
John,
oh, yes.
We got, you know, a few verses in. We're like, oh,
we
you know, your tone.
Confess our sin one to another. Yeah,
your
right.
Your tone slowly starts to change, and you realize it's the Word of God who starts, you know, his Word is what changes our hearts.
There's different voices we can listen to in our marriages.
Yeah.
And the voices from the culture are not the right ones.
Yeah.
But the voice of Scripture will remind you of the truth and remind you of your responsibility in the most intimate of all relationships.
And the truth is you can have a different, healthier, stronger, more vibrant legacy to leave to your kids than the heritage you received, right?
That's right.
There's no doubt about it. You guys have demonstrated that here as we've kind of pried open your family and allowed your daughters to tell us what kind of home they grew up in. And I'm going to turn to the pastor of Calvary Chapel in Chino Hills and say, okay, pastor, you got one last shot at a listener who's feeling hopeless in their situation.
Yes, I have felt hopeless in my situation. And if you'll just allow the power of God to come into your life, this is what I want to leave you with, that the greatest setbacks that you can enumerate in your life, the things that you might hang on to and the things that you might even justify your bad attitude or your position on, is the very thing that if you give to him, he makes the strongest stepping stones out of those things. They literally become your victory if you let him have them. They'll either pull you down to the pit, or if you give them to him, he'll use them to raise you up. God is our Redeemer.
And I love redemption stories. And yours is another one.
Amen.
I'm going to go home smiling today just because of hearing how God's worked in your marriage and your family and through your ministry.
And because of what you shared here and in your book, and I hope our listeners will get a copy of Turnaround at Home, Giving a Stronger Spiritual Legacy Than You Received.
Okay, we've been listening to Pastor Jack Hibbs and his wife Lisa here on Real Radio in a recently aired interview with Dennis Rainey and Bob Lapine and their broadcast, Family Life Today. It seems more and more readers are discovering the insightful wisdom of Jack and Lisa's book, Turnaround at Home. And that's what these discussions have been about these past few days here on our program. When we meet again, we'll resume Pastor Jack's series called Why Should I? That's on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. And meanwhile, you may have heard us talk about this, well, incredible book called Turnaround at Home. It truly offers valuable insight into breaking what we might call generational patterns. We often make that vow to ourselves that we're not going to repeat the mistakes of our parents, and yet, well, we somehow still do. And that's precisely what this book is all about. Turnaround at Home can be purchased online at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. Our telephone number here at Real Radio, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time.
This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.